If a man dies, shall he live again? Job chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. The man who said these words is Job. He's a character that is found in the Bible who lived more than 4,000 years ago. He was a rich man. In fact, the Bible tells us that he lived in a place called Uz and had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and many servants in his household. Sheep was a measure of a person's wealth. And camels, in the ancient time, were a means of public transport. And to own 3,000 camels would mean that he was a man of means. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was the greatest, the richest of the men in the East. And he was a very well endowed man. And the Bible also tells us that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so we see the picture of a prosperous man. Not only that, but the Bible also tells us that he was a man who feared God, who loved God, and who prayed daily for the well-being of his family. And then, suddenly, calamity came upon him. He was told that fire from heaven fell and burned up all his sheep, killed his servants, and one of his servants ran to him to inform him of the calamity. And then he was also told that there was a hostile people called the Chaldeans who came and took away all his camels. And on top of that, another thing happened. There was a great hurricane, a great wind that came that day, and all his 10 children were having a meal in their home, and suddenly the roof fell over them, and all his 10 children died immediately, suddenly. To think that such a thing can happen to a man. Well, this was the record of a calamity that came to such a man. And not only that, before he knew it, he was plagued with a terrible skin disease. He had terrible boils all over him. And it was so unbearable, giving to him great pain, great torment. And if this is not enough, at the funeral, his friends came to the wake to visit him. And they accused him and said that you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned against God. That's why God is punishing you. And you can imagine the scene that is before us. Quite unusual, you know, to attend a funeral with 10 coffins. 10 coffins. 10 of your loved ones would die suddenly. Imagine the kind of grief, the kind of loss that came upon this man of God. And so, in the midst of all this suffering, he made these words. You know, he was suffering to the point of death, as it were. And he was asking himself about the meaning of life. He says this, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" For any other man who do not know God, he would have followed his wife's advice. What did his wife tell him? "Go curse God and die." But he did not, because he was a man who believed there is a God who created him, and that his God would only do him good. And so in the midst of all his affliction, he asked this question about life, the end of life. Will he see his children again? And our answer, at first glance, we think carefully, must be no. Even when we take a harder look and consider the life of men, all of us have been to the house of mourning. We have seen the end of a man's life, when he's solemnly embalmed by the helpers from the casket company and placed in a coffin. And when his friends come, his loved ones come to comfort and be with the bereaved family, to experience that loss during the time of the week. And this would last probably a few days. And then the dead would be consigned to the ground, buried. This is the end of men. And so all these calamities come upon him in order to cause him to think about life. And we have chosen this passage in order that we too, in the comforts of this auditorium, may think about the end of life, so that we will not have to think about it when life does end like this, and we are aware that the life of men is not appointed by us. At a time where we take our last breath, can be today. This may be the last time you would come for a worship service to hear the good news of salvation. The victory over death. The dead man is lifeless. In fact, if a man is not revived within 3 minutes after he died, his brain would be dead. And beyond that, you would not see him again, able to respond, able to communicate with you. And this separation is most painful, most heart-wrenching. But the Bible tells us that man consists not only of this physical life, but every man has an eternal soul that lives beyond this physical life. The Bible is God's infallible revelation that can stand the test of man's investigation, because it is the truth. And it reveals to us that death, physical death of a man, is not the end for him. It may be the end of his physical life, but his soul does not die. After death, the soul is either transported to heaven or to hell, a place of eternal happiness in heaven or a place of eternal torment in hell. And that is the reason why you have been invited to come to hear the truth concerning this message. And I'm not speaking to you a message that I've concocted on my own, but it is based on the truth of God revealed in His Word, so that you may know how to escape this judgment to come. For none of us can escape. All of us would have to face a time of judgment one day. 10 out of 10. No exception. And the Bible tells us that there is a place of eternal happiness in heaven. There is an escape to the judgment to come. And so, you may say that death is not the end for men, but where his soul goes after death is a question that we want to ask you to think about. Because this human life of 60, 70, 80 years would pass. And then the Bible tells us there is an eternity to come. The Bible also tells us that death came because of man's sin. Judgment comes as a result of man's sin. That's why the friends of Job came to him in the vigil service at the wake. They were silent for a while. And then they start to accuse him and said, "You must have sinned against God." And so he has been spending time examining his own life. Had he sinned against God? Well, every day he prayed to God. Every day he confessed his sins before God. And in his heart of hearts, he knew that there was not a sin in his heart that caused judgment to come upon him. He was very clear. He knew that he was a sinner. But he knew that there is a way to make right with God. The reason why there is death is because man sinned against God. And as a result of man's sin, he is separated from God, from his Creator. You know, I was doing a slow walk or slow jog just yesterday. And right in front of me, I saw two little birds in very beautiful blue and yellow. The most vibrant of colors. And I think to myself that surely there must be a Creator. These birds don't come on its own. Those vibrant colors, those beautiful wings as they flew past, it reminded me as a child of God of my Creator, that I did not come by chance, that I am created by an Almighty God. And so this man, Job, he thought in his calamity, you know, when we are in affliction, you know, just like if you are in a hospital bed, you are there 24 hours, and you are consigned to that bed. You cannot go anywhere. And that's where you start to think about life. You start to think about the end of life. And it's a little bit fearful, isn't it? As you think of what the doctors is going to do in his treatment for you. The knife, the cutting, the treatment. Well, you realize that, wow, we are indeed so weak. And this was Job when he was in the midst of all this calamity that has befell him. Our first thought was his evaluation of life. He said in verse 1, that man is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also like as a shadow and continueth not. As he think about his life upon, as it were, his deathbed, in that vigil service, in that wake, he realized that life is so fleeting. He is brought face to face with the brevity of life. While he was the older man, all the younger ones after him all died. What is left for him in life without his children? If you think carefully, wow, it is a very serious thing that this man was going through. If your children have been taken away from you. And he was in that state. And he evaluated life. He says that indeed, life is like a flower. Life is like a shadow. You know, we now are in a season of Singapore cherry blossom. Right, over the last week, you see the trees, the flowers blooming all over the city. This day it was there, and the next day, you know, if you drive past the place, you walk past the place, you would see that the flowers would have all withered and on the ground. They were so beautiful just yesterday, but today it is gone. It is a description. He was using it to describe about life. We were young once, and then we grow old. And then the pain comes, and the body begins to break down. And he compares life to a shadow. You know, when the sun shines upon an object, it casts a shadow. But as the earth moves, the sunlight is shifted, and the shadow is suddenly gone. He was, in that sense, trying to understand the meaning of life. As his children were being buried, he saw that they would be decomposed and they would return to dust. And the Bible tells us that we are made from the dust, and we return to dust. And he tells us also in verse 3, and dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me unto judgment unto thee? He asked this question to God, why are you picking on me? Why do you seem to be angry with me? You know, when you are in the midst of suffering, when you are in the midst of calamity and trouble, you ask this question, have I done something wrong? Why is this befallen me? I'm so weak, I'm so frail. Soon I will die too, like my children. So the expression to open thy eyes means to pay attention. Why is God paying so much attention to him? To judge him? To cause all these things to happen to him? He did not know that God allowed it to test his faith. All these things came to him in order that God may prove to the devil, to Satan, that indeed Job was a man of God, a man who really, truly trusted God. God allowed him to be tested. So he asked God in verse 3, why me? In fact, he said earlier in chapter 13, verse 23, how many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and sin. I've searched my heart. Why, is there something in me that I have not done, something that I have done to sin against God then? May God forgive me. He acknowledged that he is a sinner. And he asked God, what sin is it that he judged me for? He knew that if God were to judge him, he cannot escape. Verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Who can make a sinner clean when he is unclean? No one except God. He was made to realize that he was a sinner and that he's undone, that he cannot save himself. And he says in verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the days of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Job is reminded that God has set a limit to the life of men, and that beyond a certain age, he cannot pass that fixed limit. There is no elixir of life that he knew that can prolong his days beyond that fixed time, that appointed time. And he realized that soon he would be at the outer limit of life, and then he would have to die. And so there was much gloom as he think concerning life. And he said in verse 6, turn from him that he may rest. Give me relief, God, from this judgment, from this calamity, this bodily affliction that I'm facing. Give me some comfort. Give me some relief. Till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. As a laborer who is hired to work, can he not have a day of rest? He asked God. He's not a machine. He cannot be laboring non-stop. He's asking God to give him relief from his affliction. It is most unbearable. We know of brothers and sisters in Christ who have been plagued with cancer. And the doctor said to them that you have 20% chance of survival. And they had young children. What to do? And the treatment goes on for months and months. Is there no relief? Is there no help? It's so unbearable. That's what he's saying. Is there no hope? And then in verse 7 he says, as he observed nature, he says that even a tree has hope. For there is a hope, for there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will spring to life again. it will sprout again. This is the word that is used to describe Job's answer later in verse 14 of our text. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He says that, would there come a change for me? Would there come life again for me? Beyond this destruction that is fallen upon me. And he observed the tree. He says that even a tree, when it's being cut down to the stump, you know, will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the roots be waxed old in the earth, he says in verse 8, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, and yet through the scent of the water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Indeed, we all know in nature that a dead tree, the roots within it, when it is nourished in the earth, can spring forth life again. And so he is asking this question. Even in nature, you'll find that there is not an end point, as it were, for the plants. But what about for men? Verse 10, he says, but men die and wasteth away. Yea, men giveth up the ghost. And where is he? He's asking a very good question, isn't it? That all of us must answer for ourselves. And we are saying here that man consists not just of this physical life, but there is an invisible part of him that is called the soul, that will not die even when the physical body dies. The Bible tells us that the death is not the end. It may be the end of man's physical life, but there is that invisible part of us that does not die. And there is a place of eternal judgment to come. And to help us to understand this truth, the Bible gives to us two men. Both of them are called Lazarus. Two men in the Bible who lived at different times. The first man was a beggar. The Bible tells us that he was a man who did not have all the things in this life, but when he died, he went to heaven because he believed God. And there was another man, a rich man, whom Lazarus came into contact with for some food because he was very poor, he had no money, no food, but he believed God. So when he died, the Bible tells us that he went to heaven. And then this rich man, when he died, he went to hell. And the Bible reveals to us this truth, that the man who died and went to hell suffered the torments of hell. And he's told to this man Lazarus, will you bring water to give me so that I may quench my thirst, because this fire is so great and it's tormenting me so greatly. Dear friends, we want us to know that there is a place of judgment after death that the soul would go to who do not know God. And you do not want to be there for 1 millisecond. It is that terrible. And you would not want to exchange your life, in this life, for all the things that you may have in this life, to end up there. But you would want to exchange for all the things that you have in this life so that you will not be there. This was the rich man's situation when he appeared in hell. And the Bible tells us that, you know, death is the separation. There is no way a man who had died and consigned to hell can go to heaven. The Bible says there is a chasm, there's a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And death is the separation. Verse 11. As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, neither be raised out of their sleep. As water evaporates, or as it dries up, the flood has its outlet that causes it to the water to recede. As with men, who passes entirely away and leaves nothing behind. Is he going to awake again? That is the question that we want to ask you. And that is the question that the Word of God can answer for us, where we cannot answer. We are buffeted by it. Verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. He says that I'm so afflicted. You can hide me in the grave till your judgment be past, but don't forget me. He says that I would be patient to wait for your help to come upon me. He says in verse 14, all the days of my appointed time will I wait. He believed in God. He believed that God would provide a solution for him, just like the tree who is being cut down, no more life. How is it that it's able to spring up again? He believed that God would not give to him a dead end. And he says that, I will wait till my change will come. Job believes that there is a resurrection of the dead by faith. He believed that God at his appointed time, a change will come. That's the word there in verse 7. A sprouting out of life. And indeed, the Bible recorded for us a truth concerning the resurrection. That man did rise from the dead. This was an event that took place 2,000 years later. When God sent his son, Jesus Christ, upon earth, born of a virgin, without sin, to solve man's problem of sin and death by dying on the cross and rising from the dead 3 days later. While he was on earth, he demonstrated this power in the life of this man, Lazarus. This is not the Lazarus that we said earlier, who went to heaven. But this is another Lazarus who stayed in Bethany with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And he was dead 4 days. And news came to Jesus please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without help, he will not last. They all knew that Jesus had the power to heal. Many who were sick were raised again back to health, supernaturally. And Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. You know, if you are in the bed in a hospital and you are without hope, it is a very terrible thing. Imagine the situation with Mary and Martha, their brother, very close, blood brother. They saw him slowly edging away and die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come, and they wondered why. You know, then came the funeral, the death watch. And it has been 4 days. Still, Jesus did not come. Then suddenly, Jesus appeared. And Martha ran to him, and then she cried, "Lord, if you have been here, you could have healed him. He will still be alive. But you are 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But we know that Jesus Christ was not late. He was on time. God's time. Even when he was 4 days late, Jesus was on time. Jesus said to Martha, "Show me the grave." And she said, "Lord, you don't understand. There has been 4 days. The body is decayed and decomposed. The grave, let the grave be rolled back," Jesus said. And then Jesus cried when the grave was rolled back, "Lazarus, come forth." And then somebody said, "He's alive. He is alive." The Bible tells us that there is indeed a resurrection. And you do not have to fight this battle of fear alone in your life. If you cry out to God, He can help. But did Jesus appear? He did not appear, as it were, when He was needed. Dear friends, don't be discouraged. There is hope in God, and God has sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate to us that there is a resurrection. And this was recorded for us in Holy Scripture, in John chapter 11. I'm not spinning a tale here, but these are recorded facts of human history. The stone was rolled back, and his name was called. When he's 4 days late, and all hope is gone, then Jesus came. He was not late, but Lazarus rose from the dead. And then the Bible also tells us that this same Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead was also betrayed, crucified on the cross. shed his blood and died. But 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Jesus rose from the dead. This is the power of the resurrection. And this is the truth that we want to bring to you. This is the hope that Job was looking for when he was in his affliction. That his change would come. Did Job die? Yes, he did. But after he died, what happened? Well, because he believed in the God who would send his Christ to come and save him. 2,000 years later, Job is now in heaven when he finally physically died. And the Bible tells us also that all who believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection, a time is coming when God would raise all who died in Jesus Christ from the dead. This, we said, is the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us the day will come when Christ would return and the dead in Christ shall rise. You know, as we go to the cemetery, we see all the dead buried on the ground. What were they looking for? All the believers of old who died. Well, they are looking for this time of change when their Lord would come. God would give to them a new body again. They would be raised incorruptible from death, from the dead. This is the good news, that death is not the end, but there is a final resurrection on the last day. All who believed in this truth will receive that resurrection without fail. Now I want to close this message. I want to tell you something, dear friends, and I want you to listen to me. There is a hell. After you die, you will be in hell and you will never come out. And if you are going to have to overcome your own conscience, as it were, your own heart, right now, I urge you to give your heart to Jesus Christ and be saved. This may be the last worship service that you will ever be in. This may be the last gospel message that you will ever hear. And I want to make it very plain, very straight, very clear. You don't want to have to go to hell. You can be saved. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus invites you that whosoever come may receive everlasting life. As I promise you, on the authority of the Bible, that if today, in repentance and faith, you will give your heart to Jesus Christ, my dear friend, He will save you. He will save you. He will save you for all eternity. Don't gamble with your own destiny. This is a very serious message that we are giving to you. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Let us bow our heads and close our eyes and we commit ourselves to God. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that someone will come to Jesus today. Oh Lord, I pray that that person will lay aside all hindrances, all pride, and lay it to the dust, that he may come humbly, joyfully, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. O Lord, may thou hear our plea, and may thou work a work of salvation in such a one. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.